All right, so let's learn a little bit. Parsha v'Shalach. I'll tell you the truth. I usually don't do this for the shiurim during the week. It happens sometimes on Shabbos, but I had something planned and then last second to do something different. Sometimes it happens on Shabbos by the Shal Shudas, but usually not. But there was something so I had a shiur prepared for now. I don't know, but I was just thinking about something a little bit earlier, and it's strong cheshek to say it over, so we'll go with it. All right, so in Parshas B'Shalach, so after Kriyas Yamsuf, after Az Yashir and all that, so the pasuk tells us like this. V'yasa Moshe Yisrael miyamsuf. Moshe Rabbeinu makes Klal Yisrael leave from Yamsuf. V'yetzu midbar Shur. They go to the desert of Shur. V'yelchu shloish yisyan b'midbar v'lo yimotzu mayim. And they go 3 days without finding water. V'yavai marosa. They come to a place of Mara. Okay. And the kids, there's water there. It's not really good water. So they complain, they doubt Moshe Rabbeinu davens to Hashem, and so they Hashem makes a miracle and they have water. So there's this inning of them going 3 days without water. So this story has a lot of halachic ramifications to us. Our lives are changed by this. So a little bit background. There's a Gemara in Bava Kamma. It's more of a comment of pay bays. The Gemara says like this. The Gemara says as follows, that from here, this whole story, the Jewish people going 3 days without water, there was something going on besides just not finding physical water. Again, you don't have this in front of you, but the Gemara says like this. Right? It says that they went 3 days in the Midbar without finding water. Darshi Rishumas Amru. It's the Gemara Baba Kama, Pepe's. Darshi Rishumas Amru. Chazal say, Ein Mayim El Tyre. Torah is compared to water. So it means they went 3 days without learning. Shinem Ha'i called Tzamar Luchul Mayim. So it says the Gemara, Kivin Shalach Lushal Yishizam Blayv Tyre. They went 3 days without learning. Nilu, they became weakened, spiritually exhausted. So Amdu Nevi'im Shebeinayim, so the Nevi'im amongst them, was a Nevi'im amongst them. I mean, if there's a Nevi'im in the times of the Midbar that has an idea, right, then you have, even if it's a good idea, you got to run it by Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu is definitely involved with this. So Moshe Rabbeinu and the Nevi'im Institute, Tiknu Lehem, they're Masakim, Shiukar and B'Shabbos, Masikim Be'echa B'Shabbos, V'Akar and B'Sheini, Masikim B'Shlishi Revi, V'Akar and B'Chamishi, Masikim Erev Shabbos. So now it's Moshe Rabbeinu and the Nevi'im Institute, Kriyas HaTorah. That there should be, as a community, Klal Yisrael should read the Torah on Shabbos, Monday and Thursday. They shouldn't, literally the words are that they shouldn't go to sleep for 3 days without learning. That's when there's laning on Shabbos, Monday and Thursday, it means that you're guaranteed as a community that within 3 days there's learning. So that was the takana of the Nevi'im. Based on this pasuk in Parshas B'Shalach, the Yerushalmi, in fact, says openly that it was Moshe Rabbeinu's takana. The Rambam records it like that. Also in Hilchos Tefillah, it was the takana of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Now the Gemara Baba Kamma over here, that's a brisa, that's a tradition. The Gemara Baba Kamma says that the institution of Kriyas HaTorah by Moshe Rabbeinu was very, very basic, like bare bones, which means, again, Shabbos, Monday and Thursday. But it was very bare bones, which means basically three psukim. Which three psukim doesn't make a difference. Three psukim on Shabbos, three psukim Monday, three psukim Thursday. You can have one person laying them, three different aliyahs, three psukim. That's it. I think Gemara explains the three psukim were connected to Han and Levim Yisraelim. Again, you didn't need a kind Levi Yisrael to get an aliyah like we have. It could be even one person. But conceptually, the three psukim were corresponding to Kahanim, Levim, and Yisraelim. And that was Moshe Rabbeinu's takana. Says the Gemara that that went from Moshe Rabbeinu all the way to the times of Ezra HaSofer. Ezra is the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says that Ezra came and sort of did some extensions. He did some developing on this takana. And Ezra was mesakein that, again, it's leaning Shabbos, Monday, and Thursday, but it's not just three psukim. It has to be 10 psukim. And three aliyahs, three different people reading 10 psukim. That's the institution of Ezra. And Ezra added something else. Ezra also said that besides Shabbos, Monday, and Thursday, you also have to lay Minchan Shabbos. Minchan Shabbos. Says the Gemara, why did Ezra institute that? So the Gemara says, Mishom Yoshvei Kranos, because of people that hang out on street corners. What does that mean? So there's different interpretations. One interpretation of Shanim is, people are hanging out on street corners on Shabbos afternoon. There's not much to do. So let's get everyone to learn. So they made it a laning. Another reason, Rashi says the reason is because, meaning people hang on street corners and they do business during the week. They're shopkeepers and things like that, so they might not be able to get to shul for Monday and Thursday, so they're going to miss out laning during the week. So like an extra laning for them, Shabbos by Mincha. That was the institution of Ezra. Okay. So from the Gemara B'Kamma, again, just like the history of Kriyas HaTorah, so you have Moshe Rabbeinu's institution, Shabbos, Monday and Thursday, bare bones, three psukim, that's it. Ezra upgrades it. It's 10 psukim with three aliyahs. Okay, 10 psukim with three aliyahs. And also Mincha on Shabbos we learn. Oh, by the way, why 10 psukim? Where did he come up with 10 psukim from? So the Gemara says in Bava Kamma, Kineged Asar Batlanim. What do you mean Asar Batlanim? The term Batlan is usually a derogatory thing. Guy doesn't do anything, he's a Batlan. In Chazal, the word term Batlan. If you had to be considered a legitimate, you know, well-established Jewish community, you had to have 10 Batlanim. 10 Batlanim means 10 people that they were paid to always be in shul, to be in shul from the early in the morning, to be in shul late at night, that they should always be a minyan. That was their job. That was part of it. During the day, they can do other things, but that was they were employed to be always supplying a minyan. Rashi says this in the beginning of Maseches Megillah. Right? The Gemara says in Brachas, Davav, the Gemara says that if when the time of minyan comes, you know, it says on the calendar what time Shacharis is, and there's no minyan there, the Rabbanu Shalom comes, and he's kayas. The Rabbanu Shalom Kivyachal is angry when there's no minyan. Karasi ve'ein oyne, says in Pasuk, I'm calling, no one's answering. So to avoid that, there was this idea of Asar Batlanim. So Ezra HaSofer was masakin 10 psukim for Kriyas HaTorah, keneged the Asar Batlanim. Okay? It's the Gemara Bava Kamma. Fine. So far you have from Ezra, from Moshe Rabbeinu to Ezra, later on Shabbos, again, Mincha also, Monday and Thursday. There's another Gemara. There's a Gemara in Megillah, towards the end of Maseches Megillah, the Mishnayos talk about the leanings that we have on Yom Tovim, right? Yom Tovim. So throughout every part, so it's interesting, the institution of Moshe and Ezra was not that every Shabbos you have to lane Bereishis, Noach, Lech Lecha. That was a minig. It was a minig that at some point developed, that we go through the whole cycle yearly. Chazal say that at some point, some communities had a cycle every 3 years, but the Gemara says in the Mishnayos, in the end of Maseches Megillah, tell us though, the Mishnayos sort of take for granted the assumption that besides laning on Shabbos, Monday and Thursday, there's also laning on Yontif. And the laning on Yontif is specifically Minyana Diyoma, parshas that are related to that Yontif. Pesach, you're laning about Pesach, and so on and so forth. So there's a Mishnah, the last line in the Mishnah, the last parak of Maseches Megillah talks about this. So the last line of the Mishnah is like this. Vaydaber Moshe's Ma'adei Hashem El B'nei Yisrael. It says in Pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu told the Klal Yisrael about the Yom Tovim. So it says the Mishnah, Mitzvosin Shukarin Kolecha Becha Bezmane. It's a mitzvah to lane about each one at the right time. So the indication being that this concept of laning on Yontif is also an institution of Moshe Rabbeinu. Even though the Mishnah quotes a Pasuk, the assumption is it's not deraisa, it's an institution of Moshe Rabbeinu. And so we have, so separate and yeah. So Moshe Rabbeinu instituted Shabbos, Monday, Thursday, because they went not to go 3 days without learning. Ezra, you know, sort of develops it. But there's another institution of Moshe Rabbeinu to lane every single yontif, the inyanim of that yontif, Vaydaber Moshe, that's Ma'adei Hashem, Bnei Yisrael. Now there's another thing as well. The Gemara, the last Gemara, Maseches Megillah, Tana Rabbanan, it's a Braisa. Tana Rabbanan. Moshe Tikkun L'Yisrael. Sounds like another institution. Moshe was Masakin for Klal Yisrael. She was Shoyelim V'Dorshim Ben Yonesh Shal Yoyim. That on Yontif, that the Jewish community should learn about the Yontif. Hilchas Pesach V'Pesach, Hilchas Atzeres B'Atzeres, Hilchas Chag V'Chag. We should learn about Hilchas Pesach and Pesach, Hilchas Yontif, Hilchas Sukkos and Sukkos and so on. So it sounds like that's another institution. And as of putting this all together, just simply getting the facts straight, it sounds like there's multiple things going on. You have one institution of Moshe Rabbeinu based on Parshas B'Shalach, laning Shabbos, Monday and Thursday, upgraded by Ezra Sefer. Another institution of Moshe Rabbeinu to lane on Yontif. And another institution of Moshe Rabbeinu to learn about Yontif on Yontif. Make drushes. Shoyelim V'Darshim. That's the Lashon of the Gemara. Shoyelim V'Darshim means to give shiurim about it. Not laning, give shiurim. Different institutions. Okay, that's what it seems. Okay. There's going to be chassidus to this, don't worry. So we'll get there. But the Rambam is very interesting. The Rambam, you know, again, you know, in yeshivas, when you learn Rambam, it's usually like a line here and a line there. But to sometimes appreciate what the Rambam does, you have to sort of see in a larger view. So the Rambam talks about the halachas of Kriyas HaTorah in Hilchas Tefillah. In Perek Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet. So Perek Yud Beis in Hilchas Tefillah, that's when the Rambam begins to talk about the din of Kriyas HaTorah. And the Rambam usually is very organized and methodical. So in the beginning of this section, he introduces us to the institution of Kriyas HaTorah. And the Rambam says like this, Moshe Rabbeinu Tikkun, Moshe Rabbeinu instituted, it's the Gemara Bava Kama that I mentioned before, Moshe instituted, Shiukarim B'Torah B'Rabim, that there should be laning in public, the Shabbos, B'Sheinim Chamishi, on Shabbos, Monday and Thursday, G'day Shlo Yishu, Shlo Shiyam, B'Lei Shemi Asatar, that there shouldn't be 3 days without listening to Torah. And says the Rambam, Ezra Sefer Tikkun, Ezra instituted on top of that, that Shiukarim came to Mincha B'Kol Shabbos, that you should lane also on Mincha on Shabbos, and it shouldn't just be 3 Psukim, it should be 10 Psukim with 3 Aliyahs, Moshe Rabbeinu and Ezra, fine. Says that's Halacha Aleph. So far so good. Halacha Beis. Ve'elu hein hayomim shekarim ben b'kar b'tzibur. And these are the days, now that we're going through, these are the days that you lane, that we lane the Torah in the tzibur, that we have Kriyas HaTorah. Says the Rambam, the Shavuos, okay, that's what we said before. The Mayadim and Yontif, okay, it's a new thing. Rosh Chodeshim, the Tainius Chanukah Purim uvesheinu b'chamishi. So, okay, and then the Rambam continues on to talk about that. That's like sort of the introduction to the section. So Halacha Aleph, telling us the institution of Kriyas HaTorah. Moshe was Masakin Shabbos Monday Thursday. Ezra upgrades it. Okay. And then the Rambam Halacha Beis says, and these are the days that there's laning in the Tzibur, what I just mentioned, Shabbos, Monday, and Thursday, but also Yom Tovim, throws that in. More than that, he like mixes it in. He says, we lane on Shabbos, Yontif, and Monday and Thursday. It's like, first of all, right off the bat, like, who mentioned anything about Yontif? Like, I don't know. The Rambam, again, I've mentioned this many times, the Rambam writes in his introduction, all, to learn Rambam, just know Tanakh, and that's it. Don't come with any... You know, he's not assuming you know anything besides Tanakh. He's assuming that you know Tanakh well. But after that, nothing. So, Halacha Aleph, all I know is that Moshe Rabbeinu instituted Shabbos Monday and Thursday. And Ezra upgraded. Now these are the days that we lane. Yontif, where is that coming from? Okay, fine. Then the Rambam, the rest of the parak talks about the details of Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah. You know, the Minyan, where to start from, where to end, just all the details of Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah, fine. The next parak, that's Perek Yud Beis, Perek Yud Gimel, the Rambam starts with introducing the minig that we have, which is that we have a yearly cycle to finish all of Torah through laning. It says the Rambam, HaMinig HaPashad B'Kol Yisrael, the general accepted minig in every community, is Shemashlim and Esotar B'Shanachas, that we finish the whole Torah in 1 year, right? So, and the Rambam says, Maschilim B'Shabbos Acher Chag HaSukkos, the Shabbos after Sukkos, we start Parshas Bereishis, and we continue on the whole year. And then the Rambam says, but you know, I mentioned that we lay on Yontif, so when it comes to Yontif, you interrupt the usual Parshias to talk about the Inyanim of Yontif. And in that context, says the Rambam as follows. Where is it? Yeah, says the Rambam, Mafikin l'mayadais, that when it comes to Yontif, you know, we interrupt the regular parasha to talk about Yontif. And now the Rambam says, oh, and by the way, I forgot to tell you why we lay in a Yontif. Says the Rambam, Moshe Rabbeinu tiklam l'Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu was Masakin for Klal Yisrael, Shiyukorim b'kol mayad, that you shall lay in every Yontif, in Yonai, the Indian of Yontif, v'shoylem v'darshin bin Yonai shal Yom, and you should darshin, you should learn about the halachas of Yontif as well, b'kol mayad m'mayad. Okay. So that's the Rambam. And then the Rambam talks about the halachas of Kriyas Tehillah and Yontif, and he goes on. So you can tell there's something very strange in just the flow. Again, the first halacha of Hilchos Kriyas Tehillah, he tells us the Gemara in Baba Kama, which is Moshe Rabbeinu was Masakin Shabbos Monday and Thursday, and Ezra upgraded it. Fine. If I was the Rambam, what I would then do is then say, okay, and as well, Moshe was also Masakin to Lein on Yontif. And then halacha B should be, and these are the days, summing it all up, these are the days that we lay. Shabbos, Yontif, Monday and Thursday. Right? And then you talk about the details. Fine. It's not what the Rambam does. Moshe was Masakin, Shabbos, Monday and Thursday. Ezra upgraded. These are the days that we lay, Yontif also. Okay, now I'm already off balance. And then talk about all the halachas of Kriyas HaTorah. Then talk about the fact that, we have a yearly cycle of laning. Oh, but when it comes to Yontif, you interrupt that for the laning of the Parsha. Oh, by the way, why do we lane on Yontif? I forgot to tell you. Moshe Rabbeinu was Masakin, besides Shabbos Monday and Thursday, he was also Masakin to lane about Yontif. What's also strange is that in the same breath, when the Rambam talks about Moshe Rabbeinu instituting to lay in on Yontif, he says, oh, and he also instituted that you should learn about Yontif as well. That's Hilchos Yontif. That's not Hilchos Tefillah. Again, like I said, remember from the Gemara Megillah, it's like two separate things. Moshe was Masakin to lay in on Yontif, the Yonim of Yontif. He was also Masakin that the Rav should give drushes, and you should learn about the halachas of Yontif. That's... In one breath, says the Rambam, those were the words of the Rambam. Moshe Rabbeinu tikkun l'Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was Masakin. Shiyukorim b'kol mayi. That you shall lane in every Yontif in Yonai. You shall lane about Yontif. That's the context of these parakim and Hilchos Tefillah. V'shayalim v'darshim bin Yonav shal Yom. And you should also learn, give shiurim or learn about Hilchos Yontif. what are you doing over here? That's not organized at all. Put that in Hilchos Yontif. This also, okay, that's like the general strange order of the Rambam. Then there's like small details that are also a little bit funny in the language. Again, it's hard to pick up on this if I'm saying it out loud and you're hearing it for the first time, but when you see it, the Rambam, again, going back to that first introductory halacha, the Rambam's language was, Moshe Rabbeinu tikkun, Moshe Rabbeinu instituted, shiyukorim b'torah b'rabim, that you should learn the Torah b'rabim, in public, on Shabbos, Monday and Thursday. And then the Rambam said, and Ezra, again, also, Tikein, Shiyukarin, Kain, V'mincha, that just as I said, that you should lean Torah Barabim on Shabbos, Monday and Thursday, Ezra said to do that by Mincha also. So again, it's a funny term, Barabim. Okay, that's the term the Rambam decides to use now. All of a sudden comes to Halacha Bey, says the Rambam, V'elu ein ayomim shekarin b'em b'tar b'tzibur. And these are the days that we lean Tzibur. Now, in English, probably when you translate Rabim and Tzibur, they're synonymous, but they're different words, right? It's like, why the shift? I mean, Halach Aleph, you're using the word Rabim. Halach Beis, all of a sudden, you change it to Tzibur. It's a little bit strange. Mm-hmm. Another. Again, I'm not saying it's, you know, the biggest kash in the world, but it's also a little bit of an oddity. The Rambam's language is also a little bit funny. In Halach Aleph, again, introducing the whole idea of laning, the Rambam said again, Moshe Rabbeinu instituted shiyukarim b'tar b'rabim, that you should lane tar b'rabim b'shabbos, k'dei shel yishu shleish yomim, that we shouldn't go 3 days, says the Rambam, b'lo shmias Torah, without hearing Torah. Why would the Rambam add that word? That's not what the Gemara said. That's not the exact quoting of the Gemara. The Gemara says in Baba Kama, that they shouldn't sleep 3 days, which the Rambam changes that to just go through 3 days, which I guess makes sense. It's like why you mentioned sleeping, but okay. It says the Gemara, again, to avoid going 3 days below Torah, without learning. So what the Rambam isn't satisfied with that. The Rambam says, below Shmias Torah, without hearing Torah. What exactly? You know, sometimes the Rambam will change language to make the words flow better, to make it more not poetic or whatever it is, but what does this add? To put the word Shemiyah, what does that add? It doesn't give any more. What does it do? So it's a little bit of a funny thing. The truth is also, what you could learn from that something in halacha as well. There's a big shaila by the in the Paiskim. What is the nature of Kriyas HaTorah? What's the nature of the mitzvah? Is the mitzvah as far the guy? I mean, the guy's laying, right? But in terms of everyone else that's listening, what's your mitzvah? Your mitzvah to hear? Or is your mitzvah also to lane, and you're being yoytzi with the guy laning, right? So it's by Purim, right? The mitzvah is not to hear the Megillah, the mitzvah is to read the Megillah. But by hearing it, Shmei Kaina, by hearing it, it's as if you're reading it. Is that what's happening by laning also? Or is it no? When it comes to laning, your mitzvah is to hear, Taka. So the Rama would sound like, if the Rama, maybe that's why he added those words, right? B'loi Shmei Estar, the meaning is to hear. The problem is that later on in Halacha Beis, where he sort of like, sums it up. These are the days that we lay the Torah B'tzibur, Shabbos, Yontif, Monday, Thursday, and he keeps on going on with these halachas. The Rambam always uses the term kriya. He never, after this initial halacha, never uses this term hearing Torah. He never uses it again. More than that, there's later, a little bit later on, there's indications that the sheet of the Rambam is the mitzvah is actually to lay it, and you're being yoytze with the Baal Kareh. For example, the Rambam says a little bit later on, when he talks about the procedure of getting an aliyah, the Rambam says, Kol echa vecha min ha-kairin, each one that guy that gets an aliyah, what do you do? So Pesach Sefer Torah, you open the Torah, Ma'abiz Makom Shukarba, you look at the spot that you're going to be reading from. Again, in those days, the guy that got the aliyah laying from, okay, but either case. Then you say Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem Mavarach. Everyone answers Baruch Hashem Mavarach Lamavarach. Fine, and then the Ram says, then you make the Baruch Baruch Atah Hashem Lakinah Malachad Mashar Baruch Abanu Mekalam Menaslan Es Tayrasai Baruch Atah Hashem Noisna Tayra. Says Ram, V'chol Ha'am Oinim Amen, and everyone says Amen. That's what I'm saying. What is that? I mean, of course, everyone says Amen. Like, what do you have to? That's like Hilchas Brachas. Hilchas Brachas is when someone says a Baruch, you make Amen. He says the bracha, everyone says amen. So a lot of Bacharim say is because what's happening over here is you have to say amen. It's not just regular, the guy says a shahak, you say amen. Over here, you're supposed to be laning like that guy is. And you're supposed to be making a bracha like that guy is. So you have to be yaitse with his bracha, so you have to say amen. You better say amen. So if anything, the Rambam sounds like the mitzvah is what? Is to lane. So what's the Rambam saying in the first halacha that Moshe Rabbeinu instituted Shabbos Monday and Thursday that we shouldn't go 3 days that hearing Torah? Okay, so here's the idea. Truth is, it's a bigger kasha. What does it mean? Moshe Rabbeinu institutes laning Shabbos Monday and Thursday, basic. 3 psukim, that's it. Ezra said, you know, not good enough. 10 psukim. 3 aliyahs, 3 different people, 10 psukim. I'm not asking why Ezra did it. How is he allowed to do it? There's a general klal. Ain bezdin echad yachal avatal divi bezdin chavera elam kin godlamin mechachavinyan. In other words, it means that you can't, that one bezdin cannot change the rules, an institution of an earlier bezdin, unless they're greater than that earlier bezdin in number and in stature. Exactly. And so usually the way that rule is used is that bezdin number 2 can't completely, you know, erase what Bezdin number 1 did. But the Gemara Megillah, Daf Beis, it's clear from the Gemara Megillah that even if Bezdin number 2 just wants to add things, alter things, that's also, one Bezdin can't touch an institution of an earlier Bezdin unless they're of equal or greater stature. Ezra Seifer is not going to claim to be of equal or greater stature to Moshe Rabbeinu and his Bezdin. So how's Ezra Bechlal instituting anything? How's he doing this? You want to tell me that he can institute Shabbos by Mincha? That's a new thing. But once you're touching laning on Shabbos Monday and Thursday, that means that you're altering Moshe Rabbeinu's Takana. How are you allowed to do that? So it must be. It's obvious. It must be. It must be. And there's really no other solution to this. There's other suggestions that Achrayim make, but I don't think they're reasonable. The most pashut answer is that it must be. And we find this in other places as well, that when Moshe Rabbeinu made his institution, he instituted it with the, it was made clear that he's starting something. He's creating a platform of Kriyas HaTorah. Whereas usually when we have that idea, like Desmond makes a takana, like the Gemara says in Megillah, the Gemara says that, you know, Mordechai and Esther, Masakin Purim, you know, regular Purim, Shushan Purim. So the Gemara says, you know, later Bezins can't add other days to it. Yeah, because Mordechai and Esther made a full institution. But Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't like that. Evidently, Ezra Sofer was makabel, that when Moshe Rabbeinu instituted Kriyas HaTorah, he knew that he was establishing bare bones. And Moshe Rabbeinu was sort of left it open-ended. Later on, you want to add to it Zuntai. Now, once you have that principle that Moshe Rabbeinu left it open-ended, then doesn't have to the development of Kriyas HaTorah doesn't have to stop with Ezra, right? It's like, what, Ezra? Well, you can't add to Ezra. Well, Ezra couldn't add to Moshe, right? Elamai. Why could he add to Moshe? It wasn't added because Moshe Rabbeinu made it open-ended. Moshe Rabbeinu established the platform. Okay, and Ezra built on that. So I would suggest, and I think it's clear what the Rambam is saying is that Ezra did not finish it either. It was another institution. Kriyas HaTorah is multi-layered. And there's three basic layers to Kriyas HaTorah, and this is how it is. Moshe Rabbeinu's institution was the most bare bones, which is, like I said, Shabbos, Monday, Thursday, three psukim, zeh. Keneged Kahanim Levim Yisrael. And the institution was to hear Kriyas HaTorah, to hear it. And the institution was Barabim. What does a Rabbim mean? It means a minion? No. Let's say seven people's a minion. Let seven people's a Rabbim. In Hilchas Chalamoid, the Ramban writes this in Torah Sodom, you could have a Rabbim, something to be defined as a Rabbim is not a minion. Let's see, you know, Rabbim may ami or smisyadim. Even Goyim are, you know, I'm not going to say that. Even Goyim could be called a Rabbim. Women and children also is a Rabbim. You know, there's a principle. The principle is, the Mishnah says in Megillah, Dvarm Shebekdusha, right? You need a minion. It says in Pasuk, V'nikdashti b'sleich b'nei Yisrael, you need a minion. Things that you need a minion. The institutional Kriyas by Moshe Rabbeinu's level, it was not instituted to require a minion. It was instituted to need a Rabbim. Was a Rabbim? No. You decide what a Rabbim is. If you have only 20 people available, maybe 8 is a Rabbim. It's a Rabbim. Yeah, it's not a minion. Ezra Sofer keeps that basic concept, but upgrades it one level, which is not just 3 psukim, now it's going to be 10 psukim with 3 aliyahs. That's halacha aleph. Now the truth is, this the institution of laning on Yontif that Moshe Rabbeinu instituted, the Rambam held, that wasn't even a Kriyas HaTorah institution. The Rambam puts it in one sentence, as Moshe Rabbeinu instituted to read about the Yontif, also to darshan and to learn about the halachas of Yontif. The Rambam understood that that's one basic idea, which is the Rambam instituted that in Yontif you should study about Yontif, study in Torah Shabbat, and study in Torah Shabbat Peh. But it was not a Kriyas HaTorah institution. So who came up with laning on Yontif as an institution? The answer is a later Bezdin. It wasn't Moshe, it wasn't Ezra, it was a later Bezdin. There was a later Bezdin that also that added another layer to Kriyas HaTorah, and they were allowed to, just like Ezra was allowed to. And this new institution, this new level of Kriyas HaTorah, the Rambam is introducing to us an halacha base, which is what? That the final edition of Kriyas HaTorah was, a Rabbim is not enough, you need a Tzibur. It's now defined as a Dover Shebekdusha, it's now defined as a holy activity, Dover Shebekdusha, which requires a minion. It's now defined as not just enough to hear Torah. Now it's an inyan of every single person in the minyan is laning through the Baal Kairay. That this next level of institution is not just Shabbos, Monday, Thursday, but it's Shabbos, Yontif, and Monday, Thursday. It was certainly inspired by the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu required us to learn about Yontif, both in Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. But to make that an institution of Kriyas HaTorah, that was a later institution of some later Bezdin. And so, and this later institution, again, they created the idea that it has to be with a minion. They created the idea that it's a chiyuv of laning of everybody. It's sort of, you know, you're not just listening to the Torah, but you're laning through the Torah. They're the ones that instituted the concept that this laning should be done not just on Shabbos and Monday and Thursday, but also on Yontif. And those are the three layers, those are the three tiers of Kriyas HaTorah. So you have Moshe Rabbeinu's level, Ezra Sofer's level, and we'll call it a later Bezdin institution as well. Okay. That's what we find in Halacha. And I'll show you, I'm not going to say it's a proof, but something that we'll be able to explain based on this. In the Gemara in Baba Kama, if you remember, so the Gemara Baba Kama said that, again, Moshe Rabbeinu was misaking 3 psukim, bare bones, Ezra was misaking 10 psukim. The Gemara Baba Kama explained where that came from. The Gemara said that the 3 psukim of Moshe Rabbeinu was connected Kanam living Yisrael. The 10 psukim were connected the Asar Batlanim, right? Those ten batlanim. That's the Gemara Baba Kama. Shift cameras. There's a Gemara Megillah. The Gemara Megillah and Daf Chaf Aleph is talking about the halachas of Kriyas HaTorah. Moshe Rabbeinu, Ezra. It's not Baba Kama. The Gemara Megillah. We're talking about as we know the Kriyas HaTorah that we know. And the Gemara over there is referencing the idea that there's three aliyas. Monday and Thursday. There's three aliyas with Tem Sukkim, which happens to be, we know, is Ezra's institution, but the Gemara in Megillah is just talking about its time. And says the Gemara, interestingly enough, why does even the Gemara ask this question if we already have a Gemara Baba Kama? But the Gemara says, where are these three psukim corresponding to? Like, where are they coming from? Like, what are they connected? What are these ten psukim connected? What are the three aliyahs connected, and what are the ten psukim connected? So, one second. First of all, why are you even asking that? We already have a Gemara Baba Kama about it. And whatever the answer, if you're asking it, I'll just say, like, Ayin Sham, take a look at the Gemara Baba Kama. I'll give you the same answer. The Gemara Megillah gives a different answer. The Gemara Megillah says as follows, Hani Shlesha Kenegin Mi, what are these three aliyahs coming from? Where are they coming from? Says the Gemara Amar Avasi, Kenegin Torah Nevim Muksuvim. Torah Nevim Muksuvim. We already have the number 3 in Baba Kama by Moshe Rabbeinu. He said it was Kenegit Kehanu Levim Yisraelim. Now you're telling me it's Kenegit Tarnavim Mitzuvim. The Gemara continues, Hani Asara Kenegit Me. What are these 10 psukim from? What are they Kenegit? What are they Kenegit? The Asara Batlanim. That's what Ezra Sefer was Misakin. Says the Gemara, Hani Asara Kenegit Me. Om Rabbi Shulban Levi, Rav Yosef Amar, Kenegit Asara Sadibris, Shenever Lemoshe Bissinai. Asara Sadibris. So, why Baba Kama didn't give me a different answer? Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Kenegat Asar Mamarish Shebehem Nevar Olam. It corresponds to the 10 utterances of the Gemara, that the Rabbanu Shem used to create the world. Ask the Gemara one second. There's only 9 Vayomers in Parashas Bereishis over there. What is it that Bereishis 9? Bereishis is also considered a Maimer. What's the question of the Gemara Baba Megillah? This is a Sogin Baba Kama, Moshe and Ezra. We already know these numbers. We know what they're corresponding to. So what are you asking about this in Maseches Megillah, and you're giving a different answer? The answer is, it's a different institution. The Gemara Megillah is asking the third level institution. Moshe instituted his level of institution. Ezra built on that. It's Gevaldik. But now we're talking about in Maseches Megillah, we're talking about current events. Maseches Megillah is how we lain. What we lain is Betzibor, is with a minion. It's a Davar Shebekdusha. It's a chiyuv on the whole tzibur to lain as well, and they're being yotze with the guy's brachas. It's a whole different institution. And now, this institution, what are these three aliyahs corresponding to? What are the ten psukim corresponding to? Don't give me the answer of Baba Kama. That was that's good enough to satisfy the institution of Ezra and Moshe and Ezra. We're asking something else now. To this, the answer is, Taka, you're asking a good question. The answer is, Tarnavi Miksuvim, those are the three aliyahs, and the ten psukim correspond to the Sarasadibris of the Sarmamars. Okay, so that's the sugya, but like, what's the inyan? Like, again, like I always say, why does it have to be complicated? Why can't just Moshe Rabbeinu either make the whole thing by himself, or that's it? But what's this inyan that Moshe is step one, Ezra step two, this later institution step three, and they correspond to different things, and the halach, the nature of the Kriyas HaTorah is different. It's sort of okay. So it's like this. You know, the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah that the Rabbanu Shel made the world for 6,000 years, right? The first 2,000 years from Adam until Avram Avinu, 2,000 years of Tayu. Chaos, basically nothing going on, nothing noteworthy. And then you have the next 2,000 years, Torah, 2,000 years of Torah. The final 2,000 years, Shnei Alpayim Yomei Mashiach. Most Rishonim, most Mefarshim explain, when there's no Torah in the final 2,000 years, that means Torah. It means Torah and Mashiach. Not that Mashiach. It means that it's 2,000 years of where Mashiach should be here. Like, it's chaval if not. But let's understand, that model is not just a model of 6,000 years. That's a model zooming out. That tells you everything you need to know about how the Ribbono Shel Olam created, continues, and brings the world. That's the story of creation. Those three eras. That's the story of creation. Not only is that a story of creation, and not only is that a story of like 6,000 years, and not only zooming out, is that a larger story of creation itself. That's the story of every single year. We go through those stages. Let's understand. The inyan of Kriyas HaTorah, you know, there's a ton of Tanit Ve'el, there's a medrash in Tanit Ve'el Yo, I'm trying to get. There's a medrash in Tanit Ve'el Yo, a Yid met El Yonavi, and he asked El Yonavi, which is already like Madrega, he asked El Yonavi, I want to learn Torah, teach me Torah. And Yo says, Maskin, I will, if you answer this question. What's the question? Why do you want to learn? Why do I want to learn? Yeah, Torah is gevaldik. It's amazing. Nah, wrong answer. What should I have said? If you told me that you can't live without it, and you'll expire if you don't learn, then I would teach you. This is the meaning. The meaning of that is that Torah comes to fix problems. Torah comes to solve a problem. That there, it's not like everything is fun. There's, you know what? Cherry on top. Here's Torah. If there's a problem, Torah comes to fix it. But yeah, there has to be a, you have to ask a kasha. You have to ask a kasha, then you get a teretz. It's not like a jukebox, you know, if there's such a thing anymore. You know, it's not like that. If there's a kasha, then Torah comes to answer it. That's why I always hate, and maybe you've had this also, people ask you like, for a vart. I'm not going to tell you a vart. Ask me a kasha, and we'll see if I can give you a teretz. It's not like a vart. I'm not going to tell you a vart, but you're not missing anything. You're on another vart. What's broken, and maybe I could help fix it. But so Torah comes to fix. So what is the problem that Torah comes to fix? Well, the problem that Torah comes to fix is already laid out in that Gemara of Avodah Zarah. The problem is Tayu. The problem is Tayu, right? Because what are the Gemara? There's 2,000 years of Tayu, which basically means what? How do you describe a world without Tayu? Which is a world with a problem. So that's the Gemara saying, 2,000 years of Torah, of chaos. And then 2,000 years of Torah comes to fix that. And then there's an even greater level of fixing, which is 2,000 years of Yemos HaMashiach. So what does it mean, Torah? Let's understand also on a deep level, by the Mekubala, and this is a very, very basic principle in the Kisvei Ari, is that, you know, everything that the physical world is functional because of the spiritual infrastructure behind it, right? So in the language of the Mekubalim, which we use this all the time, is that the spiritual infrastructure, the solid spiritual infrastructure that is, you know, the engine behind all things, it's called the universe of Atzilus. That's what all the Kisvei Ari is about. What's the infrastructure of Atzilus? This parts of that parts of it. It's a whole, but it's a solid infrastructure. And then there's this world that's being fueled by that, that's being sustained by that. That's called the lower worlds of Bria, Yitzir, Nasiya. Whatever, lower worlds of Bia, that's what it's called. Bria, Yitzir, Nasiya. So you have the world of Atzilus, which is the spiritual infrastructure of things, and that's fueling and sustaining the lower world. But in the Kisher, we have the following idea, which is that it's not like the Rabbanu Shalom just, you know, decided to create this system, and it was like, you know, 0 to 60, and it's just like it went smooth right away. It wasn't like that. The pasuk says, "Bereishis bara Elokim, ba'aretz ha'yisa sayu v'avoyu v'chayshon pnei sa'ayim." So there was something chaotic. So in the Kisvei Ari, we have this an idea that the Ribbono Shel Olam created the spiritual infrastructure. Initially, he created that spiritual infrastructure, which right now is solid and like maintained, and everything's functional. It's not going anywhere. In the beginning, the Ribbono Shel Olam created it with a malfunction, kviyachol, with a malfunction. And the malfunction is that each part of that infrastructure was unable to connect to another part of that infrastructure. It was, in the language, you know, I'll bring it down in a minute, just in the language of the Arizal. The basic building blocks of the higher world are like the spheres, you know, Chesed, Gevur, Tiferes. So the way a functional system is that Chesed and Gevura and Tiferes, they carry the load together. right? But and now that would be functional. So there's a lot of aura. There's a lot of energy. The Rebbe Mishlam is pumping a lot of light, a lot of energy. So now every keli, every vessel, needs to carry the load with each other. You know, like the Gemara says in Saita, if one person can carry 50 pounds, two people together can carry not 100 pounds, 150 pounds. So when people team up, it's that's what a functional spiritual sustainable reality looks like. But that's not what the Rebbe Mishlam created initially. The Rebbe Mishlam created initially is that these kelim, chesed, gvur, teferes, each one was made with a quality of being unable to help the other one. The model was ano emlech, I am king. I am king. Chesed is like, I got this. You don't got it. Gvur, I got, you don't got it. Right? And then what happens? The Arizal describes a phenomenon that's called shviras kelim. Means the spiritual infrastructure didn't work out. And what happens is, now you have a reality that was created initially that's called the Olam of Toyu, of chaos, mamish chaos. What does chaos mean? Chaos means that everything was just in pieces and with disorder. You know, I've mentioned this before, like we can't even imagine such a reality, but in that first initial stage, every moment that would ever be was existing in chaos. You know what that means? So that means that now we go from 9:46. Wow, good luck. 9:46, Wednesday night. We all know that that's going to turn into 9:47 Wednesday night. But in that state of chaos, where everything is shattered into pieces, 9:46 Wednesday night and Tavshin Pei Vav can easily flow into 3:00 in the morning on Tuesday morning of Tav Kuf Ayin. And there's no problem, but you can't live like that. There's no way, everything's in pieces. So Rebbe Mishlam has to then say, Vayomer Elokim Yihi Or, let there be Or. Let there be Or. And Or means the Rebbe Mishlam infuses into the system Tikkun, order, which is the light of Torah, And now the light of Tikkun comes and reconstitutes the system. And now the system is built in such a way that we have it now, which is the spiritual infrastructure is solid. Chesed, Gvur, Teferes, all the pieces are working together. They're working together in tandem. They're supporting each other. The kelim are now sustainable. They're able to contain the light of energy of creation. And from that spiritual healthy infrastructure, it's able to then give life and give energy and sustain our physical world. And that's what we call tikkun. That's what we call order. That's Gevaldik. But that really is only stage two. Because even this is good, but it's still not 100% fixed. Why? Because the physical world that's being sustained by that spiritual infrastructure is all mamish united. But is our world so united? Is our world so put together? There's still a lot of chaos, right? There's still a lot of chaos. There's war, there's conflict, there's inner turmoil. On all levels, there's chaos. It's just because the spiritual infrastructure, that's called Atzilus, is so one, so it sort of keeps all the pieces of the physical world in check. But the ultimate goal is that even the physical world should be uplifted to be united with the spiritual infrastructure, where just as the spiritual infrastructure is absolutely one, so that oneness should also be experienced in the physical infrastructure. And that's a full rectification of chaos. So now you see what's going on. So now the problem is, and this is how the Rebbe Mishlam created the world, chaos. Chaos means everything is running in opposite directions from each other. The physical world is like that. The spiritual is like that. It's all dysfunction. Now, a person feels like that too sometimes, right? You could have that period, that initial stage of creation, which is called the Olam of Toyu, right? So like I said, like on the largest of scales, that was the first pasuk, Bereish Elokim, right? V'aretz lo hayah v'lo yah. In the history of the world, that would correspond also to the first 2,000 years of Toyu. It's all over the place. In a person's own particular life, that's also, there's times of Toyu. There's times of mamish of chaos. A person's all over the place. So here's the great institution of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the leader of the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu is looking out for the lost sheep, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu comes and says the following thing. Tikkun will come. The Rabbanu Shlom, just like he reconstituted the system in the beginning when he said Yehi Ar, and just like Avraham Avinu came to introduce the next 2,000 years of Torah to stabilize the world, it's going to happen to your life too. But Moshe Rabbeinu is not satisfied. Moshe Rabbeinu says, but what's going to help you right now? So there is a phenomenon, and this is what we call in this form, again, I'm just giving you these ideas, Rashi Prakin. There's an idea that even during time of Tayu, during time of chaos, where the kalim of your life are all over the place, mamish all over the place, the Rabbanu Shalom still, even before he helps, even before the solution comes, there's a solution. What's the solution? The Rabbanu Shalom sends sparks. That's the language of the Rizal. There's Nitzutze Kedusha. The or, the light of Tikkun, the light of Torah hasn't yet come into the world, but sparks begin to come. And what these sparks do, they don't fix it, but they at least hold it from descending even further down. And that's also called progress, right? That's also called progress. I mentioned the story before of Gifter before he became Rosh Hashiva, right? So he was a Rav in Waterbury, before the Yeshiva. So the story goes that he was a Rav there for a bunch of years, and after... So they asked him, like, was he Matzliach as a Rav? So he said, 100% Matzliach. Well, how do you know? He said, I got there, 20 from families. I left 20 from families. Total Hatzlacha. Hatzlacha? Yeah, that's Hatzlacha. When, you know, when you're on a treadmill, right, not going anywhere, that's called Hatzlacha, right? So the Kisri has such an idea that they're during a Matzav of Tayu, even before Tikkun comes, there is Nitzutze Kedusha, there are sparks of Kedusha that the Rabbanu Shalom sends to at least keep things from descending further. This is the institution of Kriyas HaTorah of Moshe Rabbeinu. What was the language of the Gemara? They went three, not to go three, they went 3 days, they became exhausted. They went 3 days without Torah, they became exhausted. And says, Moshe Rabbeinu instituted, okay, we're not having this anymore. Every Shabbos, Monday and Thursday, there's going to be three psukim that are lained. In order that you that as the Rambam, as the Gemara says, that you shouldn't sleep 3 days without Torah. What do you mean? Why sleep? The answer is, you know, sleep. That's talking about a spiritual situation. That's a 60th of death. They shouldn't fall deeper into sleep. They shouldn't fall into sin. Chazal says such a lashon, shvirasin zvimisasam. When you have a vessel and the vessel breaks, that's called this death. That they shouldn't sleep 3 days without learning. They shouldn't go through Shvira. The Shvira shouldn't get even worse. The Rambam's language is, they shouldn't go 3 days without hearing Torah. Why hearing Torah? Why not laning? The answer is, you're not able... They're not holding by absorbing the words of Torah. But you know what they're holding by? I could pour Torah over their heads. You know what I'm saying? They could just sit there and listen and let the words wash over them. That'll be piled. What's it going to be piled? They're going to come back to life? No, but they won't fall further into the abyss. And that's the basic, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu institutes this as the bare bones institution, because this is not the solution. This is holding at bay. This is 20 from families, not leave, you know, and 20 from families at the end. It's at least holding it at bay. That's why. Why was the reason for this? Says the Gemara, Kineket Kahanim Levim Yisraelim. It's well known. Kahanim Levim Yisraelim is Rosh Hatevis Kli, because that's all there is right now. There's no iris. All there is Malchus of a Kalim. All there is Mamish, bare bones. All you have is Kahanim Levim Yisraelim, just Kalim, just Shivrei Kalim at that, Shivrei Kalim, broken Kalim. But at least we're trying to keep it. We shouldn't lose the kalim altogether. They're broken, Taka. But at some point, they become so broken that they're not kalim. Bechlal is nothing. It's dust. In order to maintain that there should be kalim, kahana will be misraim. That's the institution of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why it's not a minyan yet. It's not a dover shebikdusha. There's no revelation of God's presence. This is words of Torah. This is a spark, a ray that's coming from some other place just to keep you. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Comes Ezra. As Ezra now introduces actual tikkun means now you have the light of Torah coming, and the light of Torah actually coming into the world, to put the Kelim back together, to create a spiritual infrastructure of absolute oneness, an infrastructure, this corresponds to the model that sustains our world right now, which is a spiritual universe of Atzilus, which Chesed, Gvur, Tiferes are united together, thus keeping a physical world which is naturally inclined to dysfunction, but at least keeping it functional. That's what's going on over here. Corresponding to the person in the Nefesh, that corresponds again to the era of Avraham Avinu, the 2,000 years of Torah. In the Nefesh, that corresponds to a time of where the person is beginning to hear. They're actually beginning to hear. They're beginning to wake up. They could actually understand. They could actually understand. The Rambam, by the way, says, later on in Hilchos in Perek Yudbeis, the Rambam says that the institution in the times of Chazal of a meturgaman. Meturgaman was that while the guy's learning Hebrew, no one understands what he's talking about. So he had a meturgaman, someone translating pasuk by pasuk. The Rambam says that was instituted also from the times of Ezra. Why? Why not Moshe? Because everyone spoke Hebrew. But Moshe Rabbeinu, it wasn't about hearing, understanding. I'm just, you know, sleep through it, but let the words, you know. It's like the Gemara says a certain Tana's mother would bring him in the stroller to the Beis Medrash. That even as a baby, he should hear, you know. You should hear that. It was just the Lavich, you know, Yud Shvat, Rabbi came Rebbe. So I read a story that there was a particular lady. She gave birth to a baby, and she was talking to the Rebbe, to the Lavich Rose Rebbe, and the Rebbe said, like, oh, my husband's gonna lead a Verbrengen soon. Make sure that you get a phone connection and put the phone by the baby. The baby should hear the Rebbe talk. It's like, you know, it's an Indian. The baby understands. No, sheishma divrei sheishma they should hear Torah, but Ezra is already holding up. That's Moshe. That's basic. Moshe Rabbeinu. Then Ezra comes in and upgrades, which is that you could hear it, that you should be able to understand it, to be masig, that you could understand intellectually. So he institutes a maturgama. Ezra Sefer therefore institutes the upgrade that it's not just 3 psukim, it's 10 psukim. Why? Kenegat asar batlana. See, it's interesting. The Gemara says, I mentioned, the Gemara says that you have a city, right? But in order for it to be considered a city, you have to have 10 batlanim. So, what are the 10 batlanim? 10 batlanim means, the word batlanim, bittel. Bittel means, tikkun looks like chesed has bittel to gvura, and gvura has bittel to teferis. All the pieces of the spiritual infrastructure have nullification to each other. They have achna, the humility. They're working with each other. That's called batlanim. That's the basic model of us of the spiritual system that's good, that's tikkundik, is asar batlan. It's 10 ingredients. Chachm binadas, chesed, gvura, teferes, netzachay, yisayid, malchus, where each one has bittel. When you have that, then the surrounding city of the doctor and the Indian chief and, you know, everything that's going on, they're not the same. They're not the asar batlanim themselves. But at least they're considered to be an ear. And that's the model. You have the spiritual world, which is absolutely one. That's called tikkun. And that absolute one spiritual world at least keeps the physical world, which is not absolutely one, it keeps it on check. And that's the model. You have asar batlanim creating an ear. You don't have asar batlanim, you don't have an ear either. You have just a bunch of nomadic people, you know, running around. An ear is not one, but it's a united system. That's the model of Ezra Sofer. Again, that corresponds to that middle stage of tikkun. But it's the beginning, it's a huge step in rectifying the chaos. So again, chaos means everything is running in a million different directions. Moshe Rabbeinu comes and doesn't fix it, but Moshe Rabbeinu at least introduces us to the idea of, you know, he came in with 20 families, you leave with 20 families, that's called progress. Moshe Rabbeinu institution is, we're not bringing tikkun yet, but al kopanim, we can give an illumination of the light of Torah to at least keep the toyu in check. Ezra Sefer, and again, that's why all there is 3 psukim, keli. I just want to keep the kalim. Forget ayur, and there's no ayur over here, there's no functional. It's just kalim, but I at least want to keep that. Comes Ezra Sefer, and Ezra Sefer says, we're now moving to the next stage, which is, I'm going to introduce tikkun. The model of tikkun is absolute oneness. But the first stage of tikkun is oneness in the higher world, asar batlanim, which then trickles down to at least a functional, cohesive society. One? No. But at least a functional, cohesive society. That's why still the institution of Kriyas HaTorah is barabim. It's still not a tzibur yet. It's still not a dover shebikdusha. You still don't have, as we'll explain soon, you still don't have an absolute oneness revealed. You have a oneness in the spiritual background. So what you have in front of you is at least a rabbim. A rabbim means everyone's still in the same room, still working, but it's not. Comes the later institution, and later institution now gets us to the final stage of tikkun. What's the final stage of tikkun? Not only is the spiritual world in a state of oneness, but that oneness of the spiritual world is so palpable, is so intense, that it actually spills over into the physical universe, where the physical universe also becomes one. That's Yemais HaMashiach. Yemais HaMashiach is taking the oneness of the higher world, and it's so potent, it's so real, the oneness of Hashem is so apparent, that it actually makes its way into the physical universe, that the physical universe also becomes unified like the spiritual universe. This is the final model of Kriyas HaTorah. The final model of Kriyas HaTorah, therefore, is what? Is a tzibur now. What's a tzibur? What's it mean, a rabbim and a tzibur? A rabbim is a bunch of individual people that are not fighting with each other. That's a rabbim. What's a tzibur? A tzibur is individual people that are literally one. We find this in halacha. There's many examples of this, but that's what a tzibur is. A tzibur is mamish, a new metzias, that's absolutely one. That's what a tzibur is. The reason why you require a tzibur by laning now is because laning is now defined as a dover shebekedusha. It's now defined as a divine revelation. What divine revelation? Revelations are in atzilus. What revelation now? The answer is that's the point. We're now talking about such a level of spiritual potency that the unity of the spiritual world, which was what you were satisfied with by Ezra's institution, is now overflowing into the physical universe, where the physical universe is also redefined by that. Ad kedei kach, that the mitzvah therefore now is not that there's a guy laning and you're listening. The whole model of one person laning and you listening already means there's two. That's not the model anymore. The model is only one. Hashem is Echad, Bashamayim u'Ba'aretz, that's it. Bashamayim u'Ba'aretz, mitochas ein oid. So the model of that in halacha is that all there is one, which is laning. All there is one mitzvah, which is to read the Torah. And the guy laning, you're laning also. You say amen to his bracha. This is why this institution also is built within this institution, is that there's laning not just on Shabbos, Monday and Thursday, but also Yontif. Why? Because you have to lane about the time. See, the model of Ezra HaSofer is gevaldik, but the divide between there's the time that you're in, the world that you're living in, there's the real world, and then there's like the Torah that you're laning about. That's a division. That's unhealthy. What does it mean to lane about the time that you're in? It means that the time that you're in is unified with the Torah itself. It means that the divine, the spiritual world that you're connecting to with the words of Torah is the story, is what you're experiencing. That's the day that you're in, is the, like the famous line from the Baal Tanya. Someone said to the Baal Tanya, you know, you see them, you're old fashioned, you don't live with the times. Well, what are you doing? Live with the times. I did Shnayim Vikra today. I'm Amish, this is Parshas B'Shalach, I'm Amish current. That idea, again, in the stage of Ezra Sofer, in that stage of Tikkun, where the spiritual universe is one, and the physical universe is sort of like tagging along, you know, is being tethered, you know, to the spiritual, but it's not, they're not one and the same. Then yes, then there's the laning that you have, but then there's the time that you're in. Those aren't that. But comes this final stage of Kriyas HaTorah and says, no, the time that you're in is what you're laning about. So you have to lane about Yontif on Yontif, and the parsha that you lane on Shabbos is the Shabbos that you're in. That's the. It's one and the same. Where you, when you are, what you are, the world that you occupy is the parsha that you're laning. It's one and the same. Again, this is why it's an institution of a davar shebekedusha. It needs a minyan. Let's go back. That's why the Gemara says in Megillah, the Gemara has a new question. On that new highest level of institutional Kriyas HaTorah, why 3? Why 10? To this, the Gemara's answer is, why three aliyahs? You know why three aliyahs? Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim. You know what's unique to Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim? Everything you'll find in Nevi'im, Ksuvim is contained in Chumash. It's in Torah. Like Amidah, Lo'im, Miza, Baraisa. The model that we're using to make this final institution of Kriyas HaTorah is a model where everything that you see at the end is exactly a reflection of what you see in the beginning. Everything you'll see in Nevi'im Ksuvim is exactly emanating from Chumash. Lekamid l'rmiza b'raisa. Why is there 10? Aseres HaDibros. What are the Aseres HaDibros? Chazal say that all Aseres HaDibros were included in the first two. Anoichi v'layilacha, zeu. Everything else is commentary. You see, instead of there being a model of 10 separate things, of Asar Batlanim, what are Asar Batlanim? 10 individual people that are mamish carrying the load together. That's Gevaldik. What are the Aseres HaDibros? Aseres HaDibros is an unfolding of the same thing. You're not talking about just a level of unity of like things working in tandem. You're talking about an absolute oneness that's just unpackaging itself. That's what Tanakh is. That's what the Aseres HaDibros are. That's what the Asar Mamaris are. Chazal say that the first mimer, which is Bereishis, everything was contained in Bereishis and everything else is commentary. Because that's the final stage of Tikkun. The final stage in the absolute fixing of chaos is that the physical world is also just an unpackaging of the spiritual. And just as the spiritual is one, the physical is also one. That's Yemais HaMashiach. And so these are the models of Kriyas HaTorah. Now this was going on over here. So these three Madregas of Kriyas HaTorah are giving us a mahalach, giving us a model of the three Madregas within a person of what, sort of what we go through. Again, stage one, you're in complete disarray spiritually. But comes Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu gives us an institution is that if you could be lower, and if you're not lower, that's already called a Madrega. That's already called a Madrega. At least you have Kalim. You could have nothing. You don't have any R, but at least you have Kalim. You don't have any Kalim. It could be worse. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Comes Ezra 7, Ezra 2, okay, but now that's good. But now you could do better. Now you can find, there could still be chaos going on in your life, but at least you have that spiritual anchor, that place that you escape to, of where you can find cohesiveness, where you could find achdus. And that sort of place that you find, whether it be, through davening three times a day, whether it be through be kivei itim to learn during the day and at night, whether it be the mitzvahs that you do, going to see tzaddikim, you find that spiritual universe, which is mamish tikkun, and that will sort of rein in, to whatever degree possible, the chaos on the outside. You make your asara batlanim, and then you have an ear. That's Ezra Seifer's institution. But then the final tikkun is that same level of cohesiveness, of oneness, that until now by Ezra's level you were escaping to once in a while and using that as sort of the way to fortify yourself, that actually becomes the root of your existence, and everything else in your life is just the commentary to that. And that oneness becomes so palpable that it actually takes over everything, and everything becomes one through that. That's the institution of the final level of Kriyas HaTorah, which is what it looks like, Yemais HaMashiach. That's the Yemais HaMashiach consciousness. Now, by the way, one last thing, and I'll mention this, and we'll end with this, which is, it's an ironic thing. These three Madregas are taking us from like basic, just survival mode to mamish top of the mountain. So you would think that the people that would institute this will be also going from lowest to highest. But it's the opposite. Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest of all, he introduces us to survival mode. Ezra Seifer, who's also very, very good, introduces us to thriving mode. And the final institution, which is Mamish Redemption, is a later Bezdin. Unnamed, later best. But this is the klal, this is the principle, which is, we'll just end with this. Rav Nachman says, again, the sicker the person, the greater the doctor. that's required. People think, you know, Rav Nachman said this, he said, people think that if you don't know anything and you're, you know, Yishvach, then you don't need such a big Rebbe. You need someone that knows a little bit more than you. No. The sicker the person, the greater the doctor that's required. So if Klal Yisrael are so sick that their mom is shivrei kelim, broken kelim, to the point of where they have the fear of losing even the shivrei kelim, then you need Moshe Rabbeinu to institute basic survival mode. Once you have that, okay, you're not so sick anymore. Then you could have Ezra. And then your mom is not so sick. Now it's just Geula. You could have later Bezins as well. So a person should remind Hashem of this. If you hold yourself as being very, very sick, it means that you have the right to demand the best doctors of all. So Hashem should bless us. We should be able to get the right doctors, and we should be zeichet to go from strength to strength, to go from Tayu all the way to Shnei Alpayim Mois Torah, Shnei Alpayim Mois Mashiach, V'Bias Kol Tzalei Barachim, V'Meir 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 V'Meir.